The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, DraftKings Network, however you take it is in. We honestly appreciate it very much. Very grateful for that, for allowing us to be part of your mornings. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas.
What's up? What's up?
What's happening?
Not much.
I see above your shoulder there that they're doing a whole thing. Well, they were a second ago on J.J. McCarthy's Pro Day. So that's what we have. 2 hours of J.J. McCarthy's Pro Day today. Okay. How are your brackets doing? Oh, boy.
They had a great day yesterday.
I don't know many people who had a great day yesterday.
Yeah.
Just anecdotally, of course. Some did. Again, congratulations to you. We have nothing but college basketball today on the show. Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, will join us to give his picks for today and perhaps for tomorrow, now that we have the first half of the round of 32 set tomorrow as well after yesterday. Chris Felica, the Bear from the Bear Bets podcast over at Fox Sports. Same with him. Maybe he's got some other sports he wants to talk about. How about a little Adam Finkelstein from 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports HQ, his college basketball thoughts today on the games. Dr. Bob, he promised yesterday he'd come back on. He keeps that promise a little later on the show. Kansas didn't quite work out in the end for him yesterday. We'll get to that. And then Jason Weingarten usually comes to us from a cloud of smoke. I don't know. Maybe the cloud of smoke will be right here.
We have no idea.
We have no idea.
I have no idea. I produced the show. I have no idea if Jason's going to be here or not. I can tell you what. Yes, he's not going to be on Skype. If we have him, it will be, yes, the cloud of smoke will have
be right here.
Right here.
Cloud of smoke will be right here. All right, let's start, though, because we're going to have everybody giving their picks later on. Let's just talk about yesterday first and spend a little time on that. March Madness never fails. And if we could just break these games yesterday down in two categories. One was the kind of snooze fest games, quite frankly. There were about 11 of those, 11 out of 16.
Thank you.
You wanted me to say that? Is that part of it?
Like, I just feel like every year, you know, it's like, whoa, it's so crazy. And it's like, yeah, but a lot of the games suck.
Yeah, yesterday, 11 of the 16 were blowouts. Five we'll get to, which were obviously just amazing in the way that they developed. First of all, the 11 games that were blowouts, and to varying degrees. Obviously, a lot of those were higher seeds. Number three, Creighton, covering against Akron, winning by 17, covering the 11.5. Number one, UNC in the West. That was in the Midwest, by the way. Number one, UNC in the West, beat Wagner by 28. That was a 25.5 point spread. Illinois over Morehead State in the East. They won by 16, covering the 11.5. All these were covers. Iowa State, number two seed in the East, taking down South Dakota State by 17. That was a 15.5 point spread. Gonzaga crushing McNeese in a 5-12, 6.5 point spread in the Midwest. They won by 21. Tennessee, a two seed, crushing St. Peter's by, what was that, 34. That was a 22.5 point spread. And Texas, getting back to a little bit of a higher seed, a seven seed. That was a 3.5 point favorite over Colorado State. They won by 12. I had Colorado State as my survivor team yesterday. By the way, I do have a buy-in, as I mentioned, so I'm back in today. One buy-in allowed. Colorado State, who had held, remember we did that whole thing about Virginia being held scoreless for over 12 minutes against Colorado State. Colorado State scored 2 points over a 15-plus minute span yesterday.
You know what? I didn't want to text you because I knew you had your...
It was almost worse.
I knew you had your survivor going on this, so I didn't want to text you about it.
And
but
they were up 8-2, and I was feeling like a genius.
All I was thinking about, though, was what we say all the time of, like, on a Thursday night football game, we're like, would you bet this if it was in the middle of a Sunday slate?
That's right.
It felt the same way of, like, Virginia took all the heat the other night, yet, like, because you're buried in the middle of the first round...
That's exactly
you
right.
You can escape from it a
That's
little
exactly
bit.
Right, because Virginia was a standalone.
Yeah.
By the way, Arizona, so all of those big favorites that we just mentioned and all of those higher seeds and lower seeds, not only won, not only advanced in brackets, but covered all the spreads. Arizona almost was in that group, too. They crushed Long Beach State in a 215 out west. They had two bunnies at the end, and they only end up winning by 20 in a 20.5 point spread. They missed the bunnies. So Arizona is the only one of these blowouts that I've mentioned so far that didn't cover. But then add a few more longer seeds to the blowouts, and those were to start the day, and this is where I bring in the Megapod story from this year. Last year couldn't have been better. Well, this year, let's put it this way. Before you could say, hey, has the tournament started? some picks flamed out. Michigan State crushed Mississippi State by 18. Mississippi State never even made a run in this game. That was a 1.5-point spread. And then Oregon, that was in the West, and Oregon in the Midwest is an 11 seed, really crushed South Carolina. There's no other way to say it. That was a 2.5-point spread. They won by 14. There was no real run in that game either. Todd had both Mississippi State and South Carolina in his Final Four. Will had Mississippi State in his Final Four as well. So a year after those guys just murdered it, the headlines from the Megapod. Todd called it, though. Todd said, he goes, I hate my bracket. This is going to suck. I'm just telling you, I'm not doing this 2 years in a row. And he even laments the fact that he went up against Izzo and Altman, two of the most tried and true tourney coaches ever. And he did what a lot of sports bettors do. They just regret some of the stuff they do sometimes. And so Michigan State rolls, Oregon rolls. And then the other blowout, the 11th of those, NC State as an 11th seed crushes Texas Tech. I keep using crush because they were all kind of snooze fest. This one was good for a half, I guess. And then NC State just absolutely outclassed them in the second half against the Red Raiders. 80-67, they win as 5-point dogs in that game. So those were 11 blowouts, and there wasn't much to those games. By the way, the two DJs for NC State, especially DJ Burns, they called it at halftime, Zach Randolph vibes from DJ Burns. And by the way, that's Jim Valvano. Not quite Jim Valvano vibes with NC State, but this team is good. All right, then the five games where, and we'll break these down into two and three, because the last three are ones that people are just absolutely going to leave a mark on. But two of the longer seeds that won in close games, I had BYU going to the Final Four. As a ticket, and also I had a long shot for them to win all, but I really my 12-1 for them to go to the Final Four, that flames out as well. As number 11 Duquesne, who hadn't been in the tournament since 1977. They beat BYU 71-67 as 9.5-point dogs. Remember, this was the game that people acted like they knew the final score. They couldn't bet BYU enough.
Yep.
Got all the way up to 10 at one point.
Yep.
To you. But it was such a microcosm of BYU's season. They fell down 14 points. I'm like, that's nothing for BYU. Sure enough, they tied it. And then they lose at the end because that's just BYU.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, what? They got cold from three early in the second half, and it was just that team can't get cold from three.
I'm screaming at Khalifa the whole game. It's just get him out of the game. It's a whole thing with BYU.
So I was pretty impressed with Duquesne, actually, though. I thought they played some good
ball. They were great. They're absolutely great. They deserve credit. And then the other one of the five games that came down to some drama, and the biggest upset of the day, number 14 Oakland in the South beats Kentucky, a 13.5-point favorite. So this was not only the biggest outright upset in terms of a betting market, but also in terms of your brackets, or if you had Oakland, let's say, in Survivor, every which way. Oakland beats Kentucky 80-76. Jack Golke for Oakland, 32 points on 10 of 23 point shooting. And this gives us our moment. I guess we'll have to save the real three games that leave a mark for after the break here. But this gives us a moment to just talk about Coach Cal and Kentucky, and not to get too sports talk radio on you. But this is maybe the biggest sort of, I don't know, lie that has ever been thrown on the American sports betting public is how good some of these revered college coaches are, how respected they are for what they do. I've told this story maybe five times in all the years on a numbers game, but I go back to the year that C.J. McCollum and Lehigh upset Duke in a 15-2 game. I was on a flight. I was sitting in a middle seat. Sat in middle seats back in those days, Kelly. And this guy to my right.
Why?
It's your budget. The guy on my right kept looking over. I was handicapping baseball. I was doing something on a spreadsheet with my spreadsheets in baseball. And I could tell he was like looking over me. And then finally he spoke. He's like, oh, what are you doing there? I told him. And he goes, he waited a little while longer. He goes, oh, by the way, I'm so-and-so. I'm my assistant coach on Lehigh. This was like right after they had pulled off the upset. And I've told this story before, and I start talking about the game, and he goes, and he started talking about, and again, another pregnant pause. And then finally he goes, you know what we couldn't understand? I was like, about what? About the game. What? He goes, that Coach K just didn't make any halftime adjustments whatsoever. None. And if you've ever listened to Alan Boston all these years, he always talked about how Coach Krzyzewski was never as good of a coach as people made him out to be. When I used to hang out with Bomani, he's a big North Carolina fan. He used to talk about Roy Williams, great recruiter, can't coach. Coach Cal had no answers yesterday. John Calipari had no answers for Oakland. Couldn't stop the kid from shooting the threes. And again, he's got these freshmen who just had a bad game. And this is the unforgivable part. I'll just say this with X's and O's. Take a guy like Jim Harbaugh. When I was at the West Coast Conference tournament a couple weeks ago, I talked to a guy who used to play for Harbaugh at the University of San Diego. And he goes, Harbaugh isn't a great X's and O's guys, but he's a master motivator. And when something is amiss with his assistant coaches, he will step in. You have to have some basis in X's and O's. You have to remember that at the core, that's what you were. And with guys like Calipari, it doesn't feel like he has any ability to coach his way out of anything. And regardless of how you feel about that part, the unforgivable part, the unassailably unforgivable part about this is, at the end of the game, he throws his freshman under the bus. You're 65 years old. They're teenagers. Take it, man. Like, haven't you evolved enough as a human being to, like, accept the responsibility? Well, you know, the freshmen just didn't play as well as they normally do. They didn't hit the shots they normally do. That's just unacceptable, dude.
I think it's always a question in college sports, football or basketball. It's how good of a coach are you versus how good of a recruiter, right? You said something right there. I mean, I think Coach Cal probably, as much as anybody, like, at the core, I don't know, over the past dozen years, it's probably changed him being more of a recruiter.
Imagine if we had a bad show, Gilly. Imagine. And I was like, well, you know, Kelly just wasn't as funny today. His arm swing wasn't as pronounced today. It's all Kelly. It's just horrible. We'll get to another three games, the worst of the three yesterday that left a mark. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. That is a deal right there. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up. And earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. Promo code they got to use for that, Kelly, once again is...
ANG, like a numbers game.
Listen to the man. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite. All at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Skill Alexander, I just want to read this one tweet because I think it's indicative of something I wanted to bring up. This is from Paul Tony at Tone44Tony. Well, he might be in Tony for all I know.
Tony.
With Tim Meadows. Yeah. Tony.
The question mark.
Tony show, maybe the greatest show I've seen this year. I mean, recent times, I should say. Lauryn Hill coming, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Paul Tony says, many thanks to the good Dr. Bob for saving many brackets for me. So Bob did not cover with Kansas yesterday on the pick that he gave, but he gives for his clients, he gives bracket advice, and it was spectacular. And so good on you, Paul Tony, for saying that. I just want to bring that up because it is amazing. Like, we've said this before, but it's amazing. So, like, let's take Will and Todd on the Megapod. Will and Todd could not have had a more unbelievable Megapod performance last year, to the point that Todd almost could have won $1 million, right, in DraftKings. And Will had FAU in the Final Four. So they both had Mississippi State before you could even say, hey, as the tournament started, Mississippi State loses. And it is amazing to me the incoming that they took on this. And it's just like, okay, guys, did you just forget? And maybe you're new to the Megapod. Though, then you picked the wrong, like one guy said, this is the worst decision I ever made in my life. I was like, your life's probably pretty good then, huh? And he sort of backed out after that. Right, yeah. But it is incredible. And so, like, you know, Bob was taking for Kansas. Kansas was up 22. Yeah, terrible pick. Chris Velika joins us now. He is the Bear from Fox Sports, Bear Bets Podcast, which he is the host of, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You were talking to us off air about Drake as well. You took a little incoming for that.
Yeah, terrible to pick Drake as a potential Sweet 16 team up late again and for the second straight year, like Tim was talking about, complete meltdown and down the stretch. You have South Dakota State plus 16.5, down what, four? I think they got it to in the second half, wind up losing by 17. Yeah, it was one of those days. It popped on Kentucky money line at halftime. Yeah, it was just one of those days that we've all kind of had where basically everything went wrong. But the only thing that did go well for me yesterday was actually being on Kansas and Survivor. So I don't think I would ever plan on using them again. And they did ultimately surprise in so many of those top picks, whether it was BYU or someone else did actually go down. So maybe in the long run, the upsets will pay off if I can work my way through only five more rounds of Survivor to get there. Right?
Five more rounds, but days. You have to count the days, yeah. Not the rounds. Who will you have in Survivor today, sir?
I think I'm going to use Northwestern and Clemson. Again, teams that I don't expect to have. But you would use this mentality yesterday, too, with picking an underdog. You got to use a team that you think you're not going to want to have moving forward. A lot of their games today that moving forward, I'm going to like certain teams. And I'm going to try and stay away from some of the popular picks that I like. I took Northwestern +3 earlier in the week, and now they're 4.5. And I don't get it. I know they've got some injuries, but people just keep banking on FAU showing up the way they did last year. Well, they're running out of chances to do that. And they just lost to Temple in the conference tournament. So I don't like them. And I know the note I tweeted out about 11 seeds being favored over 6 seeds. And now they basically all won going back the last 10, 15 years or so. But there's something about the Nevada collapsing and Colorado State looking terrible. And I think Clemson is a little bit underrated. So Wishnev and I are going to go down with the ship with Clemson. I think
they're
going to go Clemson. So I'm going to back two dogs, Clemson and Northwestern amongst my Survivor picks.
Clemson feels like the ultimate contrarian pick, and they're the higher seeded team today. Mm-hmm. Ultimate contrarian. By the way, Northwestern, of course, led by the great Boo Booey, who Steve Fezzik referred to earlier this week on the show as Boo Boo Booby.
Exactly. As opposed to Baba Boo.
Yeah, Boo Boo Booby, he called him. All right, what other ATS? Anything else pre-flop ATS today?
Yeah, I played St. Mary's -5.5 against Grand Canyon. If Grand Canyon maybe would have been drawn against another team, I would have been on Grand Canyon. People talk about the Megapod, how terrible. Like, that was one of the great points that Todd made. Like, there were certain teams that he had an idea on he wanted to fade or back, and like they're all drawn either against each other or against in spots that were terrible. Like, this is a great spot for Grand Canyon at all. Just the way they play, going against an experienced team with good guards, a good post player, a team that's well coached and drilled, that then I kind of got right, not going to rattle with that slower defensive minded. Like, I like St. Mary's moving forward. I actually have St. Mary's in the Sweet 16 and potentially the Elite Eight, but I didn't like this matchup at all for Grand Canyon. So I laid the 5.5 with St. Mary's, and I took the 3, and you can now get 4.5 with Northwestern.
Yeah, Dr. Bob.
And I almost played Baylor, but it got a little bit too rich for my blood with where it is now. I did play Baylor to win the region, so I'm just going to sit and hope they don't go the way at Kentucky.
Yeah. Bob was on yesterday. He'll be on later today. But one of the things he said yesterday, because we were going through bracket strategy and how you want to go contrarian with what the general populace is picking, and St. Mary's to the Final Four was his suggestion in terms of maximizing your contrarian, aspect of your brackets. I want to bring up that point you made about Todd, because I brought this up yesterday, too. That's like the biggest difference. I mean, there's lots of big differences between mainstream media and the betting media. But while, while everybody appropriately was killing the committee for having Virginia in, and we talk about who's in, who's out in mainstream, that was the biggest thing, I think. You're right about the Megapod from a macro standpoint, which is from a betting standpoint, that was the cruelty of this bracket. Forget about who's in and who's out. It was just that teams you wanted to bet on ended up generally against each other, and teams who you wanted to fade generally ended up against each other. Not completely, but there were so many examples of that that it kind of muted your excitement level on this. Anything tomorrow, now that we have the first round of the first half of the round of 32 scheduled?
Yeah, I can see myself. I haven't bet it yet. I'm going to see if it maybe climbs up a tick or so. I can see myself back in Michigan State. The number is really low, which seems to me that people are going to be attracted to taking the one seed at a short number. I don't know if that's the right play or not.
Yeah.
But North Carolina looked great yesterday, albeit against a team that had like 3 players by the end of the game. It seemed like But Michigan State played great, and we like to joke about the December, January, February Izzo. No, this is the one team that Michigan State really hasn't been able to figure out in the NCAA tournament. Maybe the different coach now in there with different style. Maybe that will lend to help Michigan State. I can see myself holding Michigan State, especially if is it four out there? Because I know four. I saw some 3.5.
Four.
Is it four?
Yeah.
I can see myself holding a Michigan State plus four. And then there is a part of me that wants to take Oregon plus the points against Creighton. This is an Oregon team that I think we saw yesterday with Dante on the inside and Cuisinart on the perimeter. Like, they're a good team that probably was an NCAA tournament team, but they just didn't have the sum of their parts for the entire year. They didn't get a great draw here because they got a team with a big post player as well, and a team that shoots the ball well, and a team that doesn't foul. And I would think that Oregon might get a tough whistle in this game. So I'm gonna sleep on this and see if I want to play this. And I can see Iowa State blowing out Washington State tomorrow. Cyclones.
I'll tell you my instincts, and you tell me if I'm ridiculous on these two tomorrow. I feel like laying the points with Gonzaga, laying the four against Kansas might be the move. And I feel like laying the 5.5 with NC State against Oakland might be the move. NC State feels to me like we're kind of, you know, again, they had that great run in the ACC tournament. And again, what was the conventional wisdom that people are, oh, well, you got to be exhausted. I mean, they're kids, right? They're not that exhausted. They've had days to relax. They've got in DJ Burns this player that is so different from everybody else. And it's just an interesting team to see how far they can get in this. And they get Oakland, right? So here's the Sweet 16. Take it. It's right there for you. I think they're right. You know what the thing is today also? Last thing before we go. Houston is playing Longwood.
Mm-hmm.
The under on the Longwood team total. Could you see this game being one where, like, they struggle to score at all?
Yeah, I did take under 51.5
total
for Longwood, because I'm glad you said that, because I could see this being like 39-22 at halftime or
totally.
Something like that.
And
just totally total slugfest.
Still be better than Colorado State's 11 yesterday at the half. Good God. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy the games, man.
You got it, bud.
Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox Sports, Bear Bets Podcast, at Chris Velika on Twitter. Lepetard next on DK. We're coming back at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing well. I'm just researching the band you told me to look up.
Oh, the artist.
Yeah, always the on-the-break conversations are great.
Yeah, well, we have music here. I don't know if you know this. They play music in a casino. And Howard Jones.
Howard Jones.
I'll say one of the most underrated artists of the 80s.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, he's got multiple hits, all of which are banging.
Okay.
All right. Glad we got that out of the way. God forbid we talk about restaurants or music for 2 minutes.
Howard Jones.
Wall-to-wall college hoops. Still to come this hour, Michael Montesano joins us. He killed it yesterday. He's that guy. He's the guy who killed it yesterday.
Him and Sean McCollum
also killed it yesterday. Michael Montesano will join us, as will Dr. Bob here momentarily. We always look forward to that. And Jason Weingarten, we have no idea if he's going to show up under a cloud of smoke right between us. We have no idea. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm going to say the nose minus 250, but...
Is he flying in? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Minus... I'm going to steam that.
It probably should be higher. Yeah.
We had this gentleman on in late June to talk NBA draft with us, and we had such a fabulous time. We said, hey, he knows his college hoops. Let's have him on once again. Adam Finkelstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports HQ, director of scouting for 24/7 Sports, the Stanko Empire, as I like to call it, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Adam? Good to see you, man.
I'm great, thanks. How you doing?
I'm great. Is the Stanko Empire, is that accurate? Is that not accurate? How would you... characterized.
Yeah, you know, the football guys have just nicknamed him management, and you know, still with that, I guess that's
Okay. Adam comes to us, Curtis, the progressive guest line. Let me just ask you this, Adam. Before we get into your college basketball thoughts today and tomorrow and the tournament in general, obviously with transfer portal and NIL, the nature of what you guys, what you do, what everybody at 24/7 Sports does has changed so dramatically. The way that, again, Adam Stanko, I've referenced him now a few times, for those who don't know, has used to come on this show all the time before he became a big maher over there in Nashville at 24/7 Sports. But he said to me, he goes, you know, I don't know if the in-season stuff is as interesting anymore as all the off-season stuff. How has it changed your job on a day-to-day basis? And then in the end, is the takeaway that you like it better or you like it less?
Oh, geez. All right. What I'll say is this, is like, to put it in perspective, Selection Sunday was this past Sunday. On Monday, the transfer portal opened, and there's essentially no rules anymore. You can transfer as many times as you want. You never have to sit out. You can negotiate directly with the school's collective, meaning you can talk money before you decide where you're going to go. All of that is fair game right now. In the, you know, 4 days at this point that the portal has been open, there's over 700 players that have gone in. Jeez. It's going to be open for 41 more days. So, you know, roster construction, and we're at this point now where we're kind of transitioning to just pure professional sports, but we don't have contracts yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's headed, but it's really unprecedented time with more movement than we've ever seen before. And it really, it makes like roster building and trying to build continuity in your roster a lot more challenging. It's like, you know, team loses yesterday and everybody says, well, who do they have coming back? And I'm thinking to myself, you don't know. We don't know.
We don't. No one knows.
You know, what's their asking price now? That's the better question.
Yeah.
So I would say I don't really love this part of it. I think anybody who told you they did would be, you know, somewhat disingenuous. I think for the coaches, it's maybe the worst time ever. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, player rights and the right for them to profit off their own name, image, and likeness. And that's all well and good. And I think it's deserving. But this is a terrible time to be a college coach because there is no off season. You have to rebuild your roster on the fly. Nobody's even talking about graduation rates, which are surely going to be impacted. So you got all those variables that coaches are trying to balance in times of year when they used to be able to step back and take a breath.
Yeah. I told Adam before the segment, I'm going to ask you, I'm start the segment by asking you that question. And Adam's response was, am I allowed to curse on this show? Because it is a, you know, I know a kid, I've talked about it before. I know a kid who's transferring from Pepperdine to Alabama. And, you know, Nate Oates is like taking pictures with him or something. I'm like, isn't he still in the tournament? Like, shouldn't he be? Is he spending time? Like, that's how the world has changed. It's like, instead of he spent part of his week before the tournament, before Bama's playing, having to do these kinds of things. And it kind of, and like, and I know this isn't the rules, but it was like, wait, does he get to like jump in the roster now? Like, it was almost like this unfettered free agency feel to it. Obviously, that's not the case. He has to wait till next year.
Like NC State played in the tournament yesterday. They won yesterday. They had a player on their active roster go into the portal on Monday. It's like, hey, you couldn't have waited a few days? Like, it's open for 45 days. You know, it's
amazing.
I mean, so that's and you know, I know we saw a little bit of that in college football. It's not quite as prevalent now in college basketball, but it's a totally new dynamic. And the people who have it the worst are the mid majors, because anybody who plays well in a mid major league, it's just making money. Just, you know, some high major collective is just going to reach right out.
All right, let's talk about on the court itself, which is much more fun. I've asked every guest this already today. I'll ask it of you. Your biggest single takeaway from yesterday was what?
I mean, obviously it's Kentucky. That loss is certainly the biggest talking point. I think some of those upsets were you know, a little bit more predictable, but I didn't hear anybody that was predicting Kentucky. A lot of people thought Kansas was vulnerable, but you know, for them to lose in that fashion with those freshmen and all the talking points afterwards about, you know, Calipari's job security, whether or not he needs to pivot. One of the things that I think is interesting is after the game, he was talking about how they've always been committed to this one and done model. That's really not true. You know, they pivoted away briefly. It was in that Oscar Tshiebwe era.
Yes.
Just 2 years ago. And so this year was kind of a return to form, if you will. It's not like they've been committed to freshmen throughout. They really did dive into the portal a couple of years ago, and the results have been somewhat the same. So I think it has a lot to do with style of play. Quite frankly, we saw them evolve more so this year than, but they just didn't defend. And he just has, he's one of these coaches that has a hard time getting away from like playing two bigs, pounding it inside, defending and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting what happens there, but I think certainly that was the biggest storyline of the day.
Yeah. What about today's matchups? You follow this as close as anybody. What do you see as a live underdog here based on matchup?
You know, the team that I like is, it's the last game of the day, actually, and I think Grand Canyon's got a pretty good shot. They've got, first of all, a coach who's been here before in Bryce Drew. Not only has he been here as a coach, he's been here as a player, hit one of the more memorable buzzer beaters in recent, you know, NCAA tournament history when he played for his dad at Valpo. And they've got a guy in Tyon Grant Foster, who is a terrific story. He's one of the best mid-major players in the country, won conference player of the year in the WAC in the regular season. And then again, when Grand Canyon won the postseason tournament. This is a guy who didn't play for 2 years because he had cardiac issues. He was at DePaul after being at Kansas. He had 9 points at halftime, and he had a cardiac issue at halftime of his first game. Went back home to Kansas City, suffered another cardiac issue when he was trying to play back at home. So he was forced to sit out for the better part of 2 years. Finally got cleared last spring, went into the portal, and Grand Canyon took him, and he's been exceptional all year long. I mentioned the accolades this season, so that to me is a game that's really interesting. They've got a ton of, in addition to having a great story, they're just a darn good team who can really score the ball, has a lot of metrics that are usually consistent with somebody that can play spoiler or Cinderella. So that's one that I've kind of circled for today.
Wow. Okay. It has also been the theme of this tournament. I talked about it even before the tournament started. For every expert who like loves one side, you will hear just another one on the other side who's as passionate and as convincing on the other. What else beyond the Antelopes today do you like?
So I think one of the more intriguing games is Florida because they're missing a big guy. And they're playing a Colorado team that I think has a big three that is as talented as anyone. Now, they had to get out of the play-in, and they did so. They got a big game from Tristan Da Silva. KJ Simpson didn't necessarily shoot it great in that opening round game, but he's a tremendous rebounding guard who figured out ways to help them win. Cody Williams, who's a projected lottery pick, really gave him nothing in that opening round game. Now, if he can step up, those three guys are as talented as anybody Florida has. As I mentioned, Florida a little shorthanded. So it's a 7-10 game that becomes a really interesting one because lots of times in the tournament just comes down to sheer talent. Colorado has those big three that can go head-to-head with the best players on any team. So that's an interesting one. Third game I've got my eye on is Alabama and Charleston. Now, I actually think Alabama has a shot to win this whole region and go to Phoenix, get to a Final Four.
Let's go. I like that.
Charleston is a dangerous team, though.
Yeah.
And this is Alabama. I made this point yesterday about BYU. They've got like a wide range of possible outcomes because of the number of threes they take. So everybody's into the analytics. And over an extended sample size, meaning multiple games, the analytics are going to pan out. The NCAA tournament is the antithesis of that, though, because it's all just one games. So if Alabama isn't making shots, then all of a sudden they're vulnerable. Conversely, Charleston is a team that can get hot. So if Charleston is hot and Alabama feels some pressure, we know we saw that yesterday, the higher seeds just, you know, you can see them kind of bogged down by some of the pressure of this. That's one that I would worry about. If they get through it and they guard, which is the big thing, they can't overlook Charleston, they got to guard. I really think they could make a run in that region.
Alabama, guard. That is not part of the brand. No, but I so totally agree with you on Alabama. I feel that, you know, it's sort of like FAU and Memphis in the first round last year. If people remember before that game, we're like, okay, Memphis is one of these teams. Like, if they can beat FAU, maybe they can go a long way. FAU won. FAU got to the Final Four. I sort of feel this way exactly about this Alabama-Charleston game, where the total's 173. And I think my instinct would be to still go over on that. Adam, a pleasure. Thank you so much for making the time.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
Adam Finkelstein for 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports Insider. We'll come back with Dr. Bob next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.